So last time, we spent the last couple of weeks talking about conditions for acceptable prayer, and tonight we're going to talk about three major elements that constitute prayer.
We'll call it, and you might be able to call it different things, but we'll call it one, communion, which is what we'll spend most of our time on this evening. Basically, petitions or things that we ask for, and then intercessions. So those are the three major kind of aspects or things that make up our prayers when we go to God. So tonight we'll talk about communion, and what I mean by that is communion involves our attention on God. In other words, it's an attitude of complete submission to God. It's acknowledgement of the greatness of God. It's the act of subordinating oneself to our Creator and glorifying God. So it's the idea of praising God in our prayers. It's the idea of recognizing God's greatness and our smallness, our total dependence on God. That's what we're trying to do, and we typically do this a lot of times at the beginning of our prayers. We think about the Lord's Prayer. One of the first things that we say is "Hallowed be Thy name." In other words, so giving God credit for His holiness and His greatness. Look in Matthew chapter 22. Let's think about the first part of what makes up this idea of communion with God is the idea of our adoration or our praise to God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And we know that this is the first great commandment. And this is the attitude that we need to go to God with when we go to God in prayer. A total commitment on our parts, total spirit or an idea of thanksgiving towards God when we go to Him, of all that He's done, both not only creating things and the things that He's given us, but the fact that He is totally righteous and just, yet merciful towards us. And so that's the idea that we want to have when we go to God in prayer. And again, the idea of hallowed be His name. In the Old Testament, turn to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Someone read 6 and 3, please.
"One cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory."
So that's the idea of when we're addressing God. I mean, and we see that in heaven itself, that's how God is being addressed. If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and I'll start in verse 11 and read this. I'll start in verse 10. So this is a prayer that David said. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." I mean, that's the idea of what we're talking about here when we talk about communion with God. And he covers it very well right here. Of ascribing to God or acknowledging His greatness here. Look in Psalms 104. So I'm going to read verse 1.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty.
So again, in the Old Testament, we see how that they address God. In the New Testament, we turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. This is when they're before the throne. The 24 elders are before the throne of God in heaven. And verse 11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Because of your will, they existed and were created." Chapter 19 and verse 1. "After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous." When we go to God in prayer, I think it's appropriate for us, and it's what makes up, part of what makes up acceptable prayer to God is to acknowledge God for what he's done and who he is. And I think all of these, if you want to know how to pray, go to the scriptures, read examples of, there's a number of prayers that are said in the Old Testament and the New Testament, both. And you can get a very good idea of how to go about this if you don't feel comfortable, you know, in your prayers. Let's learn from what Jesus told the disciples when he talked about the Lord's Prayer. Learn from what when we see other Christians praying or people that were approved in the Old Testament that prayed. So part of communion with God is again praise and adoration towards him. The next part of this would be thanksgiving to God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. We'll read verses 11 through 19. "While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Stand up and go, your faith has made you well." Are we thankful? We've got a lot of things to be thankful for. If we didn't have anything in this world, we have Christ who came into this world and made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. If everything else was wrong and that's right, that gives us a lot to be thankful for. We've got to keep that in mind. I think it's, you know, and I'm no different than anybody else, that we can, things tend to bother us or get us down, little things that happen. We need to keep in mind how great the gift that we've been given, and everything else pales in comparison to that. And so we need to think about these things as we pray to God. James chapter 1. In verse 17. Someone read that, please.
"Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning."
Every good thing given is from above, and we've been given a lot. Like we talked about, the idea that, God gave us his Son. So, but in addition to all that, he's given us each other in the congregation. He's given us our families. He's given us our livelihoods. I mean, there's a number of things, but we know that all good things come from God, and we need to thank Him for that. Acts chapter 17. Verse 28, he says, "For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also His children." Are we thankful for that? John 15 and 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." But the point is that we can abide in Him. He's given us that opportunity. And so, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight. That gives us a lot to be thankful for. And we need to recognize God for that. As we think about other things that we can be thankful for, look in the Ephesians chapter 1. We'll look at a couple verses in Ephesians here. 1 verse 3. Somebody read that, please.
"Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ."
So, again, what we being thankful for Christ Himself. Ephesians chapter 5, and let me start at verse 15. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Again, always giving thanks for all things that we've been given. Another thing that we can be thankful for is our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 15 and verse 57. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Why is it not in vain? Because we're saved. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." Thankful for our salvation. Another thing that we can be thankful for is our daily blessings. One of the things that we're blessed with is our physical sustenance each day. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a prayer for bread here, and we're going to talk more about that when we get into the idea of petitions. But again, to be thankful for the fact that you know, most of us haven't missed many meals, and I can speak to that personally. I mean, I've not missed many. I mean, we have a place to go lay our heads down tonight. Most of us probably had a meal before we came out. We've got a nice place to come and sit and meet this evening. It's not hot in here. We a lot of nice things that we have, and we can thank God for all of those things. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verses 17 and 18. "Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand has made me this wealth,
But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now, what we've got to be careful for is this. Most of us that work, I'm sure we work hard. And if we're not careful, we tend to think, I earned all this, and I deserve this, and all those kind of things. And he's saying here, he says, you be careful about this. He said, don't say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand has made me this. God gave it to us. He's made it possible for us to go earn a living. And that's what we need to be thankful for. Another thing to be thankful for is God's providential care, his protection of his people. We know in Romans 8 and verse 28, he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
God warned the Israelites, you know, when they were taking their land, and warned them about that very thing that we just spoke about before that scripture. You know, don't forget, I gave this to you. You know, he warned them about that. We see the same problem today in a lot of the way the children are raised. They're raised in excess and just showered and given, and they forget that those things came hard for somebody else, even though they don't recognize it. And they don't give the true thanks and have that thankful heart that God will teach you to have if you have a thankful heart.
It's true, but I think it's even true of us. If we're not careful, we think, well, you know, I've worked this hard, and I deserve everything because I'm working hard.
I earned it.
I earned it, and it's true that we are earning our money. There's no question about that. I mean, if you do your job, that's the agreement. You get paid for what you do. But we never need to get to a point where we leave God out of this, because he's the one who's made all these things possible. And it can all go away tomorrow.
Yeah. He gave us the job. He gave us the ability to do it. He gives us our life. He gives us everything. So,
I mean, you think about this. If the gas station's closed down tomorrow, what happens? We all don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
I can tell you, at the hospital right now, if the computer goes down,
yeah,
we're lost. So, I mean, things that God allows to continue to work, I mean, all these things, I mean, God, none of these things happen without God allowing them to happen. So we need to remember that all these things are not in our own power. So we need to be thankful to God because of that. He's made it possible for us to go make a living. Now, there's a lot of things that we depend upon for that to happen. And that can all go away quickly. So we need to think about those things. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When they signed the document to denying people the right to pray to God. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. He knew God was going to take care of him. So the idea of providential care, the idea of protection, and we know that he was thrown in the lion's den, and we know that God protected him. Daniel didn't allow circumstances to dictate his faith in God, his thankfulness to God. So it's a great lesson for us to learn that we should never allow circumstances to sway us in that way. Be thankful for our fellow Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul here says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. We need to be thankful for each other. Thankful for Christians that are all over the world. These are things that we can be thankful for. Because
not, there's not one of us here that's alone in this. I mean, we think, and I think about Elijah. He thought, I alone am left to serve. And he thought he was all by himself. And God said, you're not by yourself. And you're not the only faithful one. And none of us ever need to think that. We're not the only faithful person. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ that can help us. And we should be thankful for that. And you can look in several different scriptures that where he mentions this. But Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul was always praying to God, thanking him for those who had obeyed the gospel. We can be thankful for future blessings. Psalms. Look at Psalms 107. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He's, again, we've been given great promises. So, I mean, we're blessed that we know that we can have peace right now, because we know if we're in the right relationship with God, we don't have anything to worry about. But the other thing that we've been promised is we know that there's more to the Christian's life than just the here and now. It's an eternity that we've been promised. And that's, so the future blessings that we've been promised are things that we can be very thankful for. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember the scripture where he says, if only in this world we have hope, we're the saddest people ever. But he says, that's not the case for us. So these are things that we can all be thankful for. Another idea in communion with God is that of confession. In other words, confession. We can go to God and acknowledging our sin before Him and get forgiveness for our sins. Look in Luke chapter 15, verse 21. Let's see here. I may have a wrong scripture here. Let's see. Let's go to 1 John 1 and 9. I apologize for that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is something that we can go to God with. If we confess our sins, he will forgive us. If we'll turn from our sins, in other words, again, it's not a mock. We can't make a mockery of God by confessing our sins. But I confess I did this, but tomorrow I'm going to go do the same thing again. The idea of confessing our sins and turning from our sins and going to God, and he'll forgive us for that. These are things that make up what we call communion with God. We'll go ahead and start touching on the idea of petition, which I think is very kind of an interesting. It's an interesting topic. So petition is something. Basically, we all have needs, and so we're going to God, and when we petition God as a way to get our needs taken care of. So we're asking God for help. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's turn there. It It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Go to God with what is it that you need? And this could be this the entire range of human need is what he's telling us. He says, what is it? In everything by prayer. So there's no if you have a need, then there's not anything that you can't. That you can ask for.
Right, I was just going to say on that matter, I know myself, at times when you pray, you know, I think sometimes, am I praying for something insignificant? Is this really, you know, we need to remind ourselves, just like we have made our point a while ago, God's mercies are unending. He is not strained. He controls everything. We should go to Him with all things.
And
we're not tying Him up. We're not putting something on Him that He can't handle or whatever. If we ever think that we're doing that, we're totally missing the point. We don't have the right reverence and respect for God and His ability.
What I would say is this, is if there's something that we are anxious about or worried about, it's significant enough to go to God with. No matter whether I think it's a little thing, if you know, or not, that is, each one of us knows what gives us a problem, and so we need to go to take that to God, and if it's so again, the idea of God wants us to depend upon Him. It's so I mean, and when we say depend on God, one is trying to strive to do His will. We depend on God for direction in how we live our lives. We put ourselves into God's hands. John 16 and 24 there. He says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, and receive so that your joy may be made full. We need to depend on God and ask Him for what we need. Now, talk about briefly this evening, we won't be able to get through all this, but when we talk about this, divide this up in, as far as needs go, physical needs, spiritual needs. And we know that one is more important than the other. But I mean, people asked Jesus when He was on this earth, heal me of this illness. So Jesus didn't say the physical needs are not important. He doesn't say that. Now he says if you have to pick between the two, one takes precedence over the other, but that doesn't mean that the physical is unimportant either. I mean, the physical, I mean, a lot of times has an influence on the spiritual. So we need to keep that in mind. So when we think about physical blessings, temporal blessings are not promised in the Scriptures absolutely as spiritual blessings are. That's an important thing for us to understand. Because, you know, people will say, well, you know, God didn't answer my prayer for this. Well, Paul, when he said, take this thorn from the flesh, God said no. So that's one of the things so the physical, he doesn't say, yeah, I'm going to grant your every wish like He's a genie in a bottle. That's not how it works. Now, the spiritual blessings, He promises those absolutely to His children. That's absolute. So that's an important thing for us to keep in mind, because there's a lot of people in the world that use this as an excuse. Well, I don't believe in God because he didn't answer this prayer. I mean, Mom got sick and she didn't get better. And I mean, but the fact of the matter is, and we know this, and everybody else in the world knows this too. That's old enough to know anything, is that we all live and we all die. And that's, and we're told that in the scriptures, that's what's going to happen. Sometimes things don't work out the way we would like for them to. Sometimes we may not understand why certain things happen. But we can't understand if we understand the fact that this is kind of a all of it's in God's hand, but that there's going to be times when things don't turn out the way we want. I'll just say it that way.
Man brought a lot of things into the world through sin and changed the whole atmosphere and its consequences that we can't avoid.
That's it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at two verses and then we'll stop. Read verses 7 through 10. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Now, did God leave that thorn in the flesh just because he didn't care about Paul? He just got through saying that the reason that he did this was to keep me from exalting myself. To keep me away from the sin of pride, spiritual pride. So, I mean, there's times that God chastises us or allows certain things to happen so that we can get stronger here, spiritually. So, I mean, that's part of what we talk about discipline. When you discipline your children, the reason you do it is not to torture them. The reason you do it is to make them, hopefully make them good adults at some point. That they understand there's right and wrong, and they need to learn what's right. And sometimes it requires discipline to do that. Nobody likes it, but that's just how it is. And God does the same thing for us. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll end here this evening in verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. This is what he's promised us, that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge of the gospel. That's when I talk about the idea of these are absolute guarantees that he's going to bless us in these ways spiritually. Everything. So keep that in mind, and that's what we'll start talking about praying for physical blessings and then into spiritual blessings as we get into next week. But that's where this is going. Any questions or comments?
Right. When you look at our prayer to God, if we have the three in the Godhead, we can go to what you're talking about. We need to also remember the church. They play a very important part in our salvation. We're told in the Galatians that we bear one another's burdens. If we have problems, we need to let each other know about them.
True.
Not keep them to ourselves. But I think we have all those avenues. We have the elders, preachers who can help with all this, as well as the Godhead. They give us all kinds of sources by which we can make our lives right.
That's true.
We need to keep that in mind.
And that's why he gave us each other, not in large part. I mean, it's so that we can care for each other. This is how it was intended to be. We're part of the same body, brothers and sisters. And so the idea that, I mean, that if something good happens to you, I'm happy for you. If something bad happens to you, then I'm sad with you. I mean, that's the attitude that we got to have for each other, and that we're concerned enough about each other that we're going to God on each other's behalf.
It's just something we don't need to keep to ourselves bottled up, because that's what causes more problems than anything. We shouldn't be ashamed if I've committed a sin that's completely...
And when we get into the next part of this, the idea of intercessions, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. Yeah. That we're concerned about each other. But so, and like we've talked about, is with the other parts of prayers, that, that it's not just, I mean, we're talking about when we address God right here specifically, but our whole life should be, should also be in accordance with our prayers. So if I'm praying for you, I mean, it shouldn't stop there. It should be my efforts each day trying to help things. Instead of just praying to God that, yeah, God, I want you to help CL, but me not be willing to lift a finger afterwards. That's our whole lives should be pointed in the direction of serving each other.
That was Paul's statement. You bear one another's burdens.
That's right. Any other comments? All right. Thank you.